Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Everything Church-Related Podcast and the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, I want to introduce you to someone who is committed to helping others achieve their goals, dreams, and aspirations in life. He has a success coaching company called Eric G. Reed Success Coaching. He's appeared on numerous television programs such as The Learning Channel, House Hunters, CNN, HDTV, and many others. Now, Eric believes that whether you like it or agree to it or not, your unconscious mind is actually in control of what you believe. He teaches you to remove the self-sabotage, the fear, and unconscious blocks that are holding you back from what it is you're trying to achieve in your life and business. Eric will teach you what the secrets of the top 10% of successful people focus their time on, and teach you to focus on the one thing you need to do each week to dramatically accelerate your results. Eric says he'll teach you to go from functional to significant, from ordinary to outstanding, from average to excellent. He teaches people to be inspired by their passions, inspired by their purpose. He teaches people to be energized by focusing on what is truly important to you. He teaches people to be empowered by methods that offer lasting results. He says he wants everyone to have the gifts of awareness of who you are, what your true purpose in life is, and to recognize the gifts you've been given. He wants everyone to have the fuel to forge ahead and take their life and business to the next level. Praise God. Amen. He wants everyone to have the tools they need to strategically and successfully navigate through life and business, always having that deep awareness of how the power of faith will play a major part in your transformation and turn your fear into power. Amen. Welcome to the program, Eric Reed. Eric, praise God. Welcome to the program, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. Wow, you set me up quite a mountain to climb with people, huh?
Amen. Besides that brief bio that I just gave, tell us, who is Eric Reed, and tell us how you came to be known as a success coach? Because, you know, usually there's the tale of woe involved in every entrepreneur's journey. So share the trials as well as the success.
Wow. Who is Eric Reed? Yet to be fully discovered, which is the exciting part about waking up every morning.
Amen.
But going back, I guess, you know, sometimes we look at our life through the rearview mirror and sometimes we teleport and wonder how we got to where we are.
Yeah.
The success part starting in there was I had been working for a large corporation. It was a very well-known manufacturer and traveling around the world doing training, doing teaching, doing implementation of a software program called SAP, which is a logistics coordinating program, okay. And honestly feeling overpaid because I entered the market at the time when the IT bubble was biggest, and so they were overpaying us IT professionals and offering us everything under the planet, and I just happened to get one of those golden tickets, so to speak. And as I was running around, I was like, I'm success. Check out my success. I mean, I'm sitting in the front of the plane, the top of the boat, the back of the car, as we say. And it was good. And then I'd come home for a 3 or 4 day break or, you know, to sort of unpack and repack for the next adventure. And I was during those down times when I wasn't in show mode or teaching or coaching or training mode, I really started to think, wow, This is kind of empty, you know. This is kind of empty. Yeah, we can go do adventures and things, but I started to realize that I was really chasing success,
okay,
and not living a life of success. And I started to look at those people in the world, that, you know, the people that unquestionably are leading and making impact and influence around the world, and I realized that at some point they had made a conscious decision to say, okay, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to sit still and look at my life 360 and begin to make impacts equally in all of those areas instead of just that business circle. Okay. You know, we devote 100% of our energy sometime to about 10% of our worth, our life.
Yeah.
And that's what we weren't designed for. We were designed to live 100% into 100% of who we are. And so that began the unraveling and then the rebuilding, so to speak, of my life and who I am and recognizing it in others.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your coaching programs, you know, how you are actually, you know, helping people. You call yourself a co-creator and helping them to recognize their dreams and things like that, that those could be messages from their creator, from God.
So interestingly enough, I think a part of my journey was rediscovering my spirituality, rediscovering my faith, rediscovering my position as it relates to God. I had grown up in a background where it was, you know, work, 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 you know, German Lutheran from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was raised there. Lutheran as well. Hey, man.
Okay. So get out there, work hard, toll the field, you know, put in the labor hours, and then on the final breath, you'll see the abundance and greatness of God as you step into heaven. And by the way, don't complain during the whole thing, because that would just
negate, you know, unwelcome. Yeah.
Yes.
That undo everything you just did.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. You were supposed to silently suffer in this life. And growing up in that environment and being exposed over time to different thinkers and different people, I started to realize that there isn't just one apple tree on the earth producing one apple with one seed every season. Right. There are multiples with abundant apples, with abundant seeds that are producing more than we need in that harvest because it's in preparation for what might be coming that the apple tree prepares, not for what is currently needed.
Right.
And as looked
at
me,
a good way of looking at that. Amen.
Thank you. And as I began to really go back to those who hadn't been influenced by politics and position and economics and sociology, nature, so to speak, I could see more clearly my divine. And in that, I could see more clearly my purpose with that divine, and that he had already resourced me beyond my available, beyond what I could see now, because he had resourced me for where I was supposed to be going. Not where I was now. And so in discovering that, I was able to shift a mindset, to create a belief of abundance and prosperity, and that I am enough. And enough is a very big statement when it's in line with my faith and my God. Enough of God is a whole lot. I mean, that's a whole lot.
Amen.
And so when I work with entrepreneurs and work with business people or people who are just trying to shift their perspective, it's for what seems like a simple belief, it can take a whole lot of undoing to get to it. You can say it, yes, on sort of a conscious level, but until you can wake up in the morning and act through it, change isn't going to happen.
Each and every day. You're fighting the battle every day.
Every moment of every day.
Yeah.
To be able to say, so if I could give you a little example. Mm-hmm. So without going into detail of the Moses code and the I am code and the statement I am, but in the Bible, God says, I am. So it's the only name God ever gives himself in the entire Bible is I am.
Yep.
And then he describes the I am. So when I walk through my day and I say something like, I am tired, I am frustrated, I am broke, I am lazy, all the negative thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm actually calling in God into that space because that's his name, I am. Right. Just like I would call my dog Rover or my kid.
Yep.
I'm calling God into that space, and then I'm surrounding him with that thought of lack,
right,
of ineffectiveness, of lazy. And so when I began to see that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't, I would never put those words on my child. I would never turn to my kid and say, you are lazy, you are ugly, you are stupid, you're whatever.
Yeah.
But yet I do that to my God every time I say I am, because, and so what I've learned through that battle is, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be frustrated. But by changing just one thing, by saying, I feel lazy, I feel tired, I feel frustrated, I feel angry,
amen,
I know that feelings change,
amen,
through action. And it allows my God to step in and say, okay, here's the action we're going to take to move us out of this feeling.
Amen. That goes right along with the Bible and the teachings of Jesus as well. I mean, he taught that, you know, when we operate by faith, we're not moved by what we see or what we feel. We're just moved by the Word. And, you know, it's summarized, the Word is summarized as I am, because it's all God, right? And, you know, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 talks about, you know, Jesus taught his disciples, watch what you say, because what you say, if you believe it, it will come to pass. Positive or negative, it will work every time. And that's exactly what you're saying.
And very much. And so there's volumes and volumes of both biblical and non-biblical, biblically influenced writers, from Napoleon Hill to Wallace D. Waddell to James Allen to my mentor and coach, John Maxwell. But what, and oddly, I was listening to something the other day by Dr. Maya Angelou, who I had the privilege of when I lived in North Carolina, attending her classes. She talks about how words get in our fabric, get in our walls, get in our furniture.
Yeah.
And they can't be cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I thought, so even though we're sort of in a post-smoker generation, I remember back, you know, you would put on somebody's coat and you could smell cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
Or you'd go into their house and you'd be like, oh my gosh, look at the walls, they're yellow.
Yeah.
And so as I see that visualization, I thought, if words could be seen,
wow,
or smelled,
yeah,
where would they be showing up in our lives?
Wow, that's deep. Amen. That is a great visualization. It really is. If the words you say stuck to the walls or permeated your furniture, every time you sit down, you just smell the negativity. I mean, you wouldn't like it at all. You'd be, no, I need a new couch.
I'd be living in like a sterile concrete box, just so it wouldn't have a surface to stick on. But yet, we're willing to put ourselves in that every day, every moment, as we go forward with our mindset, with our actions, with our beliefs. And so when I say what I do is teach people to live life with success, it's to conquer those moments, to begin to stand in a place where they know their value and they begin to act from self and not from external.
Amen. So when you say, you know, you help them shift, make that shift from functional to significant, ordinary to outstanding, average to excellent. How do you go about doing that?
It's a process. Took me a long time, and I'm still discovering it. But what often it is that we hold on to things that we call truths or beliefs.
Right.
And we see them as truths and beliefs as sort of the same thing. I'll never be able to do that because... Okay, is that a truth? Well, yes, it is. So has anybody else on the planet that looks like you, talks like you, come from where you are, been able to do it? Yes. Ah, so it's not a truth. It's a personal belief. Mm. We can agree to that.
Yeah.
And somebody say, well, okay, it's not an absolute truth. I'm like, well, if it's not an absolute truth, then it's a belief. So tell me how you created that belief, why you hold to that belief. We've all heard the expression fear, false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I kind of grew up with a learning disability. So when I see things like that, I have to take it all apart and put it back together so my brain gets it. And when I heard that false evidence appearing real, I changed it to false evidence appearing as our reality. So if I change the evidence then the reality would change, wouldn't it, according to the A plus B equals C thing?
Correct.
So then I have to go back in working with somebody else and say, okay, so give me the evidence that that belief could be a truth. And as we begin to explore that false evidence and recreate it, or as a teaching I did the other day, reframe it, or even in some cases take it out of the frame, then somebody will say, you know what, that is kind of stupid. I can't believe I've been believing that all my life. And it's not stupid. You needed a coach or a guide to bring you to that path where you could safely look at it, take it apart, put it back together, and move forward.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I like using the example of the guy that ran the 4-minute mile, the first one. You know, it was impossible. Medical doctor, it's impossible for a man to go that fast, he would die, you know. And once it was done, within 6 months, like six other people had done it.
You know? Yeah, and we've just now broken the under the 2-hour marathon record, haven't we? Or just bumped against it.
Yeah, like, bumped up against it, yeah.
And I thought, oh Lord, I can't. That's somebody cooking.
I can't even ride a bicycle 26 miles that fast. You know? Yeah, that guy is moving. I mean, I loved running, and matter of fact, we talked off recording about, you know, my background and how I was injured. I had run the marathon the previous October. You know, it was nowhere near, you know, I was way at the back, you know, but, so I had taken off basically the winter, and I was starting to train for the next marathon, you know, about February or so. And the morning I was injured, I had just run 9 miles, you know, and I mean, I loved running, but I was anywhere near being competitive in the marathon. You know, I was just doing it as a goal, I guess you could say. But when I started training for the job with the police department, I weighed 277 pounds and had not run since I left the military 15 years prior to that. So I decided, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start getting in shape, and I'll do that by running. And that first day I ran, I was, you know, when I was in the military, I was running, you know, 650 to 710 pace on my miles, right? Well,
wow.
I was going so fast on my first day back after 15 years of running and weighing 277 pounds. This is no lie. A little kid on one of them big wheels passed me. I was so depressed. You know? This little kid's like, hi. You know? And
to help you with the story, though, it was on a downhill incline, and he was using momentum to pass it.
I think I was using the momentum just so I could keep going. I ran a half mile that day, and it took me something like 28 minutes. it was bad. I could have walked faster, but it was the first day.
Story, you know? That story is a great example of what I do. So you had a recollection of success and running marathons and being in the military and running under 7-minute miles and things like that.
Yeah.
And then life happened and you began to change and life changed you.
Right.
But you still held on to that dream of being a runner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's true. What I do is a big part of it is first teach you how to get the tennis shoes back on. And then we focus on the steps, the footsteps. We don't look at the finish line. Mm. I mean, that's ridiculous. If I kept my eyes on the finish line and half the races that you ran, you probably would have never been able to see it.
Right.
If you stopped focusing on the footsteps, you would have easily broken ankle, if not run over yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so often we are chasing success, that finish line, and we ignore the footsteps. Mm. And when we become back into our conscious, intentional actions, those footsteps that we leave in the lives of our children and our spouses and our family and our church and our community are much more relevant than crossing over that yellow line at the finish line.
Right. Amen. Amen. So tell me a little bit more about the I am code that you get people to you know, focus on, I guess you could say, their own code on this.
So it surprises me often when I'll ask somebody to say an I am statement. Men, it's funny because men will always package the I am statement in an experience. I am a runner because when I was in the military, blah, 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 like right. your statement. They package it in an experiment or experience. Women often package the I am in connection to others. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a teacher. Like the roles that they play each day. Okay. And what I ask them to do is really remove both sides, an experience and a relationship, and tell me who you are.
Okay.
And so that idea of saying I am can be often met with a very long pause.
Yeah.
In a coaching session.
I can imagine.
Because as you begin to disconnect from experience and as you begin to disconnect from relationships, then you're only faced, as Michael Jackson says, the man in the mirror. Mm. And if you stood in front of the mirror every morning and said, I am, It really is, in that same moment, you speaking about the I am that dwells within you.
Yeah.
And also the I am that you see. And the closer you can bring the I am, and when I say the I am, the God voice, the authentic voice, the spiritual voice that lives within all of us,
yeah.
and the God outside of us, and who you perceive you are in alignment, then you're walking within purpose. So one of the things I did with my a group in February, because it was short and it's the month of love and we learned to love ourselves during that month, we did I am statements. Okay. And we just did little index sticky note card things. And every day you were responsible for putting an I am statement on a sticky note and then posting it somewhere where you could see it.
Okay.
So that mirrors, those words okay. began... Yeah, so those words began to recover the walls, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. And then I have mine in a stack on my desk, but they're words like, I am kind, I am loving, I am flexible, I am determined, I'm forever. And as I read through those are like attributes that I want, but those are attributes that I can see within my faith and within my God, too.
Mm. Amen. And how do you impact others with these statements, as far as you're teaching people, okay, this is you. How do you get that transformed from this is you helping others now?
So when I talked about alignment, in the sense that if you would tell me, well, I can't run right now, I have a bad back, blah, 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 mm-hmm. you know, whatever, I would say, okay, but you told me you're an overcomer. You told me you were determined. You told me you were resilient. These are things that you said, I am. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to bring those into you, or are they going to remain outside of you?
Mm. Amen.
And how can we bring those qualities into you as it relates to this moment in time? Whether it's regarding running, fitness, family, finances, your business, you told me you're determined. Now, is that a truth? Okay, then let's bring that truth back inside and learn how to implement that into our life in this moment, the footsteps along the marathon.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, as you help people, I know there comes a time when suddenly, you know, the light comes on. You see it in their eyes and you know, their faith is transformed from someday to, hey, I got this. Explain what happens when you see that happening in their eyes.
Wow. Oh. If I can hold it together long enough in the coaching session, then after they leave, I break down in tears for being a vehicle for it.
Uh-huh.
And I do a lot of my coaching because I'm currently living in Uruguay. Uh-huh. I decided to just disconnect, take my kids, reform life for a while, see what it would be like. So a lot of my coaching is now done virtually, which has brought a new level, because it's sort of like the old days of radio. When you would sit and listen to a story on the radio, you would have to really listen in.
Yeah.
and tune into what was being said. So in coaching, when I hear somebody go through that moment where I'll see them like coming up the hill, and then they'll say something and I'm like, oh, you're getting a glimpse of the view, aren't you? You've got the view coming in, don't you? And then all of a sudden, you know, like coming up over that hill as we're driving down a highway or something, and you see this view in front of you and you go, oh my God.
There it is.
When they come into that and they get that awareness and they say that, oh my God, it's as if they're finally welcoming him in.
Yeah.
Without all of the other junk that somehow got attached to him in the past.
Wow. That's awesome. Because I love seeing that when I'm trying to teach somebody something and all of a sudden you just see it. I mean, you can see it in their expression and everything that, oh, got it. I understand what you're talking about now. So now you offer coaching programs. We've been talking about that. Tell us a little bit about what you offer and how people can sign up. Folks, this is Pastor Bob again. We unfortunately have to leave it right there. We ran out of time today. I hate it when that clock tells me it's time is up, but one day I'll get it fixed. Praise God. Now, seriously, you need to come back tomorrow and listen to the rest of this interview with Eric Reed. He has some ideas that I know at least one of them is going to bless you, inspire you, and lift you to the next level. Praise God. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all you do. Don't forget to come back and join us tomorrow. Amen.